I'm going to have a little fun today with Genesis 1. By the way, there's such a long reading in Genesis 1 that we thought we'd better get a pastor to do it because, you know, we're used to talking long periods. I need 6 volunteers, actually 7 volunteers. Delna, thank you for volunteering. I want you to stand right here. I'm sorry. Let's do you. Let's have day 3 here. I need some more volunteers to start coming up. I need 7 in all. Okay, why don't you stand right here? And then why don't you stand right behind her? And then you stand behind her. And then you do the same here. I want 3 of you like that. Okay? And just one more? Yeah, so here you are. There you go. It's you now. Okay, now you can go back, right back there. I want you're day 1, so I want you to hold it as high as you can. Day 2, just below that so that you can see that. And then day 3, right here. Put that up a little bit, Delna. Day 4, day 5, and day 6. Okay, in the beginning of Genesis, doesn't just start at the beginning, it doesn't tell us how the water was formed, but there was water. It's all water. There's no life possible. There's no air, there's no light, nothing. But that's where it starts, okay? Now, what we find is it says that the earth was formless and empty. Well, the first 3 days he forms things. The second 3 days he fills them. Okay, they're beautifully put together, right? Now flip it around. And there we go. All right. Okay, now. What we also find is it's not only symmetrical this way, days of forming, days of filling, but look at this way. He creates light on day 1. Day 4, he creates space for the sun, moon, and stars. Then he creates seas and skies by pulling the waters apart. And day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fish and birds to inhabit those spaces. And then day 3, he makes the land, but day 6, he makes the land animals, including humans. So do you see this parallel? This isn't just a history lesson, okay? That's all I want you for. That was good. It's a crossword puzzle. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. And she's the darkness over here. But did you see the darkness sitting here? Because everything, it was darkness and flood waters. That's all there was before God entered with his word. Okay, I'm done. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, now that's not all. There's more to this chapter than that. There's more structure. Look, that beautiful structure, right? So there's something more happening here than prose. Now, it tells about God creating the universe, but it goes well beyond that. Every day has a rhythm. There's a rhythm in this chapter. Every day has a rhythm. You're familiar with this, right? And God said, let there be, and it was, and God said it was good, and there was evening, there was morning, a first day, then a second, then a third. There's this rhythm to it. This is not just prose. There's something else going on here. Have you ever experienced darkness and floodwaters? Have you? And in those times, you feel like a boat without a keel or a rudder or anything else, and you start to drift. What's going on here is this is a sermon of hope. Genesis 1 is a sermon of hope. That there's darkness and floodwaters everywhere. Now, the Psalms are a little more blatant about it, but they use the imagery of water. The waters have come up to my neck. Save me, O God. The waters have come up to my neck. There's water imagery all over. Isaiah uses water imagery a lot. Remember 43? Even though, you know, going through the waters or going through the rivers, he's going to be with you to carry you. Well, that's more blatant. We know that's metaphorical. Genesis is a little more hidden because it also tells about the beginning of the universe. But it also tells us today about something. Unless we read the Bible realizing that this message is for us, it speaks to us, then we miss everything. Genesis 1 is about our lives, about the rhythm that we so desire and crave but can't find here, at least long term. Think of how the rhythm has been disturbed in the last 3 years. My, I'm seasick. Oh, it's been 3 awful years. Hasn't it been awful? I wrote a few things down. I don't think I got them all, but COVID comes. Wow. I mean, that was enough, right? But it hasn't stopped. Just one gut punch after another. One gut punch after another. Then comes racial unrest, serious racial unrest. Then war in the Ukraine. War everywhere, other places, but Ukraine, just because it can touch off something much bigger. Natural disasters, one after another. Inflation. Shortages of everything. Remember that? It's getting better, right? How about shortages of workers everywhere? Stock market took... How much have we lost collectively in this room? Why aren't people in church where there's a God that is dependable? I mean, nothing's dependable. That's what we realized in the last 3 years, is there's nothing dependable. You know, little young people want something new. And I like liturgy, liturgical, and I like non-liturgical. But there's something about liturgy. Liturgy is, that's what this is. It's liturgy, I believe. It mirrors the dependency of God. Young people say, oh, we want something new. The older we live, the longer we experience life, what are we asking? Is there something dependable? Is there something constant? Is there something that's sure? Am I right, or is that just me? And then going through all of this mess, we're desperate for something we can count on. We're desperate for something that is dependable and that it's going to be a rock. It's going to remain with us, and there's hope for the future. That's what we're looking for. Genesis 1 is liturgy. The power of liturgy is that it mirrors the dependency and of God. Oh, in fact, by the way, this whole chapter, it's poetry because of the images and what it's playing with here. But it is a message of hope to those in darkness and floodwaters. And I was talking to somebody the last few weeks, a guy named Dan, lives in another state, and he said that he'd been through some trauma, some abuse, and it was shortly after this all, and he was still just suicidal, just really didn't have anything to hold on to. And he said that he began to watch the same movies over and over and over and over. Same thing's going on here. We should read this over and over again when we are stuck in darkness and floodwaters. When I first preached this, my first church I was at 30 years ago, there was a man who came up to me and he said, this was after, like a week afterwards, and he said, you know, I'm a World War II vet, and I came back from the war, and this was a while back, 30 years ago, so there were a lot of World War II vets still. And he said that after that message, the message of the Word, what the Word said, he had nightmares every single day from that war experience. And they stopped. God said something. In the darkness and floodwaters of your life, and you have a lot of personal things you can add to all this stuff, COVID was public. We all saw the things. We saw the racial unrest. We saw all that, but you also have experienced some things. In this room, there's so much. If we could weigh the pain and suffering in this room right now, we'd be shocked. It's much more than you think. Relational issues, financial problems, spiritual issues, guilt, shame, depression, mental illness. The list is long, isn't it? We live in a world that cannot give us what we ultimately need. That's what we get when we go through COVID and all these disasters. But that's what we find in Genesis 1. And God said, because God has the final word, doesn't he? He has a final word. Psalm 46. This is what God said in the darkness, okay? This is what God said, just like Genesis 1. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. After all this stuff that's happened and wiped us out, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's what Genesis 1 is saying. And God said this. This world will not satisfy you. This world will not meet all the demands that you have as far as dreams and visions and desires that are deep within you. Only God can fulfill that. Now, the good thing about difficult times is then some people open up to the realization that they need something bigger. But that sure went fast, though, didn't it? 9/11, people started coming to church for 2 weeks, at least in our parts. COVID, people started coming to church a little bit, and then they left. They got to know this God who speaks. Remember Joshua? Going to go over and face armies, seven different people groups, armies bigger than him, and they got home field advantage, and he's in crisis and chaos like Genesis 1. And God said to Joshua, "Be bold, be courageous, do not fear, do not be dismayed or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And God said that in the face of darkness and floodwaters. That's what God told him. That's what God tells us. If you're experiencing floodwaters, and we are corporately, but even personally, look for what God said. Revolve your life around what God says. With all the chaos going on in the world, Revelation 19, I thought of. And with Genesis 1, God speaking, issuing words. "I saw heaven standing open," and by the way, this is the final word. This is the end. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. On his head are many crowns. He is dressed in a robe, and his name is the Word of God." You're worrying about the future? Then look to the Word of God. God said this. And he says it to us. "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the ages," Matthew 28. "I'm with you." That's what God says. You're struggling. You're having a hard time and difficult time. And God says, "I am with you." He says, "I love you." Remember chapter 43 of Isaiah. "I've summoned you by name. You are mine." See these words? Speak them. Carry them with you. Put them in your pocket. Put them in your pocket. Take them out. Take him out to remember what God said, because there's so many voices competing with God, isn't there? There's voices of our culture which are saying some things that are totally distant from the idea of what God would say or think. We have other people influencing us with their words. Let's look at what God says, because God says something that we can hold on to. And God says something that is a game changer in our life. He's a game changer. And he goes on from chapter 43 of Isaiah. "He who created you and formed you, I've summoned you by name, you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you." But I wanted to add this one. "Do not be afraid, for I'm with you." Wow. That's why we're here, isn't it? We're here because it's not there. It's only here. In your personal devotional life, but it's not in the world, it's here. It's where the Word of God is. That's where you're going to find your strength. That's when you're going to find the ability not to fear. That's when you're going to be able to trust things that are true for sure and depend on God. Genesis 1 is liturgy. It has rhythm. Liturgy has rhythm. So my daughter and I took a woman who was homeless from Minnesota to Colorado because it was the best shot that she had with some friends around and so forth. And we took her out. She'd lost everything. We took her out to Colorado Springs, spent a few days with her to get her acclimated. And we asked what church she went to. She was Episcopalian. So we took her to an Episcopalian church service. It was the only thing that was not new in her life. She had everything. Everything was coming at her. She'd lost everything. But when she got there and she began to do the liturgy. Now that's what liturgy is, I believe. Liturgy mirrors the dependency and the rhythm of God. With God there is rhythm and there's order and there's hope. Well, John 1, chapter 1 also plays with this. John 1 copies Genesis 1. In the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that's been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We're also in darkness and floodwaters and chaos spiritually. We all are before redemption. Or if you're not redeemed yet or experienced the radical love and grace of God, then that's coming. So here John 1 talks about darkness and floodwaters. He talks about darkness. There's light, but there's darkness. But there's light, and it's going to win out in the end. And so there's a spiritual darkness this world has. Now shifting gears as to the light that he brings when he brings a believer's hope. But what about those without hope yet? God said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what God said. He speaks a word, and the word is Jesus. Jesus is called the word of God in John, 1 John, not too many places, but he is the word of God. He is the supreme communication of God. And in him, we understand the depths of God's love for us. We understand the power that he has to take care of us. And by the way, if you look at scripture for creation, when creation's mentioned, Job a lot, Revelation a lot, Isaiah a lot. What do these books have in common? Problems. Big issues. Serious darkness. And then you go back to creation. Why? Because this God is big enough. He can do anything. He created the universe. He certainly could step into your life and give you help and hope and love and what you need. Church is all about that. Just trying to understand what God said. Don't listen as much to what culture says. Sometimes, yes, we agree with something. Don't listen first what you even are saying as you assess your situations or what your neighbor is saying or anything. What is God saying? God's made his declaration for you already. He's chosen you. He's picked you out. Remember that show where the contestants sing? I don't watch these shows, and you have to pick some. I choose you. There's somebody who said, like a famous singer chooses some new person with a voice and says, I choose you. Well, you didn't have to do anything. You didn't even have to need a voice with God. He looked at you. He loved you in spite of your having nothing to give him. And he says, I've chosen you. We need to hear what God is saying. That's why the word of God is so essential in our lives, because it speaks to us God's thoughts. It aligns us with God's ideas about us and our life. And God said. Everybody? And God said. Amen.